You're listening to an event podcast from the Brookings Institution. To get more in-depth analysis and commentary from our scholars, subscribe to the Brookings Cafeteria Podcast on iTunes, download on Stitcher, or find on our website at brookings.edu/BCP.
Good morning. My name is Cheng Li, and I'm the director of John L. Sumter China Center here at Brookings. It is my distinct honor to welcome you to today's event, Vitality, Diversity, and Diplomacy in Chinese Contemporary Art. This is an extraordinary and in many ways unique event hosted by a Washington-based think tank, primarily focused on public policy and international affairs. When it comes to U.S.-China relations, many of us in D.C. tend to be preoccupied, rightly or wrongly, by topics like the South China Sea, East China Sea, nuclear insecurity, perceived or real cyber attacks, trade wars, growing national resentment in both countries, and each country's mutually reinforced fear of the other. We may become narrow-minded in focusing only on the political, economic, and security domains, overlooking other important and possibly more influential forces at work in both countries. Artists, especially avant-garde artists, often number among the keenest observers of society and are the most forward-looking and critical thinkers. Artists are also characteristically talented bridge builders, as artwork often illustrate not only the distinctive quality of each individual, group, and the nation, but also the common bonds and the shared aspiration of the human race. Today, we are so privileged to be joined by two giants in Chinese contemporary art. They are outstanding cultural ambassadors from China, and the two of the most creative minds in the art world, whose work transcend geographic and cultural barriers, Professor Xu Bing and Professor Fan Dian. Their bios in the program provide more detailed information about their achievements. Let me briefly, very briefly, share a few highlights. Since he received a MacArthur Foundation Genius Award, or Genius Grant, in 1999, Xu Bing has become an icon of China's avant-garde movement. His landmark work, Book from the Heaven, is one of the most famous pieces of contemporary Chinese art. Xu Bing's artwork has not only been displayed at the most prestigious art shows and in the permanent exhibitions at the major museums around the world, but also appears in numerous high school and college textbooks. Last year, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, as we see from the photo, presented Xu Bing with the Department of State's Medal of Arts Award for his efforts to promote cultural understanding through his artwork. Fan Dian, president of China's Central Academy of Fine Arts, is a leading figure in modern Chinese art studies, art criticism, and the curation of contemporary art. Over the past three decades, Fan Dian has made remarkable contributions to contemporary Chinese art at both the domestic and international levels. At home, he has advocated for the idea of a museum for public, 美术馆以公众为中心, this is the term that he created and the concept he developed. And he has played a key role in promoting the construction of art museums in China. Overseas, Fan Dian has organized a series of major exhibitions to introduce Chinese avant-garde artists to foreign audiences. Professor Xu and Professor Fan We are so thrilled to have you here to share with us your artwork and your perspectives. Also, we are honored to have with us Ms. Jan Stewart to serve as a commentator. She is the Melbourne R. Sider Curator of Chinese Art at the Freer and Sackler Galleries. To the Washington art community, Jan is a well-known authority on Chinese art. Having worked at the Freer and Sackler Galleries for almost 20 years before moving to the British Museum in London in 2006. As the head of the Asia department there, Jan curated several Chinese contemporary art exhibitions, including Xu Bing's. She returned to DC 2 years ago to assume her current position. Welcome back. We're so thrilled to see you around. Fluent in Mandarin and extremely knowledgeable about both ancient and contemporary art, Jan has certainly been a bridge builder on the American side. Now, with my deep admiration for all three of these very distinguished guests, I would like to ask the audience to join me in welcoming them to speak at the Brookings. Each of them will make a presentation which will be followed by a panel discussion. Then we will also open the floor for Q&A. Now I would like to invite President Fan Dian to the stage to begin our first presentation. Welcome.
Ladies and
gentlemen, dear friends, good morning.
首先啊, 我要真诚地感谢布鲁金斯学会 这次邀请我和徐冰先生前来和大家见面 谈一谈中国的当代艺术
First of all, I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation to the Brookings Institution for inviting me and Mr. Xu Bing and in a conversation and discussion with you about Chinese contemporary art.
我要特别谢谢李晨先生和中国驻美国大使馆文化公使衔参赞李宏女士所做的这个精心的安排，也特别谢谢李晨先生刚才的介绍。
I'd like to also thank Dr. Cheng Li of Director of the China Center at the Brookings Institution for his warm welcome, as well as Madam Li Hong, Minister of Culture at the Chinese Embassy in the U.S.
我非常高兴地在这里见到了老朋友Jan Stewart和Terry，我们曾经有过很好的合作，那么今天在这里又见到了许多新朋友，真是非常愉快的一次。
It's also a great pleasure to see many old friends here, for example, Ms. Jan Stewart, as well as meeting new friends here. So in the Chinese context, I would like to say that this is a great pleasure, a really great event.
那么在这样一个简短的时间里，怎么来介绍中国当代艺术呢? 我想我还是先向大家介绍一些简要的这个背景。 或者说对目前中国艺术发生和发展的一些重要的因素来做一个简要的概览，然后的话能够通过我们的讨论，不断把话题引向深入。So
how do we talk about Chinese contemporary art in such a brief time? I'd like to begin by offering you a introduction of some of the basic elements in Chinese art, and we can expand our discussion on top of that.
大家都知道中国拥有不间断的自己的艺术的历史，可以说这个中国艺术在绘画、雕塑到建筑，各个领域都有一种自己非常鲜明的称之为造型的或者说视觉的体系。
As you know, Chinese art has been a continuous art form, and Chinese art history has also been continuous, including architecture, sculpture, painting. And Chinese art has always been characterized by clear features and clear visual elements.
也可以说很长时间形成的这样一种称之为美学的传统，在中国人的这个文化生活中是根植的非常深厚的。
It's fair to say that the aesthetic tradition is deeply rooted in Chinese cultural life that's formed through a long history.
当然今天不是讲中国古代艺术，我们要讲的是今天的中国艺术。这就使我想到当年啊，这个 Robert Hughes 啊，曾经写过一本这个关于西方现代艺术的发展的书，他的书名叫做 The Shock of the New， 就新的震撼。
Of course, today's discussion focuses on contemporary Chinese art instead of ancient or traditional Chinese art. As Robert Hughes, an art author, titled his book as A New Shock, this is on the Western contemporary art.
大家也知道中国是在1980年代打开了大门和世界交流，因此对中国艺术来说啊，它就有两个震撼，一个就像 Robert Hughes 说的是新的震撼，另外一个还有可以称之为来自西方的震撼。
Since China opened its doors to the outside world in the 1980s, Chinese art has been impacted by two shocks. As Robert Hughes pointed out, one is the new shock, the other is the shock from Western art.
我和徐斌先生可以说就是在一种来自西方的震撼的文化背景中，进入艺术这个学习，继而这个开始从事自己的一些研究。
So it's fair to say that both Mr. Xu Bing and myself have began our studies in art during such shock from the Western art, and this is the background of our own artistic studies.
但这似乎还不是我们今天要讨论的话题，因为我们今天进入的是一个新的一个时代，被称之为全球化的时代，因此中国艺术就遭遇了全球时代的来自全球的震撼。
But this still is not the topic of our discussion today. Today, during the era of globalization, Chinese art is facing new challenges or new shocks from the effect of globalization.
那么在这样一个过程中，当然中国艺术家一方面获得了非常好的机会啊，能够很好的施展他们的才华啊，另一方面可能在一个时期啊，也有一些艺术被贴上了中国艺术的一个标签啊，被认为这样一种艺术才叫做中国艺术或者中国当代艺术。
So during the globalization process, it offered Chinese artists many opportunities to display their talent. However, many Chinese artists or Chinese art has also been labeled in a way that's been characterized as only Chinese.
比如说我这里介绍的这些作品，也可能在座朋友们都从不同的媒介中有所了解，他们都是很优秀的艺术家，比如方力钧、岳敏君等这些位，包括有在西方很多王广义等等，他们在西方有很多展览或活动。但是我想讲的问题是说，可能中国艺术不限于这些非常符号化的艺术，可能在今天的发展啊，它还有更多新的因素啊，促使艺术家啊，在做出跟艺术的新的文化性质更有关的一些创作。
So I've shown you several artworks here on the screen, and maybe some of them you have already heard from the media. And artists such as Fang Lijun, Wang Guangyi, these are very well known in the West, and they have done exhibitions in the Western world. But some of these art may have been known as iconic or as labels of contemporary Chinese art. But I think that there are also new elements or new characteristics in Chinese art domestically. That's worth your attention.
那么近三十年来啊，有大量的来自西方国家的艺术到在中国举办展览或者是一种传播，但总体来说，中国艺术在走向世界的过程中啊，总量还是不够的。就包括中美之间啊，在北京我们可以看到许多美国的展览，比如在现在在北京还有很大型的 Lauschenberg 的展览，但是传播到美国来的艺术的展览和艺术家的活动啊，在数量上还偏少。我个人觉得这里边似乎还存在着某种文化交流上的逆差。
There have been a lot of Western art that are coming to China and are being communicated in China through exhibitions and through different forms of communication, but there hasn't been enough Chinese art that are going abroad to the world. For example, right now in Beijing, there is an art exhibition from the United States, but there hasn't been enough Chinese art that are being exhibited in the U.S. So I think that there is still a little bit of deficiency in the Chinese arts process of going global.
所以我们就会想，那么一种艺术的这个发展需要哪些动力呢？当然需要来自外部的，其他文化和艺术，这种，这个可以说是，借鉴，这个影响的这方面的，启发的动力。但是更重要的，它需要来自自己本土的，一些动力。
So what propels art, the development of art? Of course, other cultures influence from the West, these are very important and great inspirations, but it also requires indigenous motivations, indigenous innovation.
所以我这里想介绍有几个方面的因素，可以说构成了今天中国艺术的一个大的背景。
So there are several reasons, several elements that together form the broader background of Chinese arts today.
对，首先是艺术博物馆的这个发展。
First is the development of art museums.
应该说，在中国现在的确出现了一个可以被称之为艺术博物馆的时代，也就是无论是各地政府还是民间的力量啊，都在投入新建各种的博物馆，艺术类的博物馆。
In China, this is a time for art museums. Local governments have invested a lot in developing art museums, and the public has also invested a lot in art museums.
比如说上海市就把2010年举办世博会的中国馆，把它改变为一个叫做中华艺术宫，也就是艺术博物馆。应该说它也是今天可能在世界上这个面积最大，可能是最大的一个艺术博物馆，有超过16万平米。
For example, in Shanghai, the government has converted the China pavilion from the World Expo in 2010 into an art museum, which is called the Chinese Art Palace. This perhaps is the largest art museum in the world. It's covering 160,000 square kilometers.
当然很多省的省会的城市哈，目前都新建了新的艺术博物馆，比如类似山东博物馆包括其他的一些中小城市也有。
And of course, in other provincial capitals, there have also been a lot of new art museums, for example, in Shandong and other smaller provincial cities.
这是我所在的中央美术学院的学院的这个美术馆。
This is the Art Museum of the Central Academy of Fine Arts, which where I serve.
那么与此同时的话，也有很多私人的或者叫民营的美术馆在兴起。比较早的有北京的今日美术馆，在上海的龙美术馆等等。
There's also a burgeoning scene of private art collections and art museums. For example, the Today Art Museum in Beijing and the Long Art Museum in Shanghai.
那是北京这个去年还这个新建了叫做民生现代美术馆，这个民生是一个银行民生银行下面的艺术机构。
And last year in Beijing, the Minsheng Art Museum was built. Minsheng is the name of a bank, so this is an art collection that's founded by a financial institution.
甚至在很偏远的这个中国西部的宁夏的银川这个城市也新建了。可以说目前在建筑设计上非常有特色的大型的美术馆。
Even in remote areas such as Yinchuan in Ningxia province, a new art museum has also been built, and it's built with very unique architectural characteristics.
当然，作为艺术博物馆的硬件是越来越具备了，但是我们还非常缺乏软件，也就是美术馆的专业人员，类似于从事以展览策划、公共教育这个社会这个集资这个等等方面的人才，这也是中美之间十分值得交流的一个大的领域。
Of course, there has been a lot of hardware in the Chinese art museum scene, but the software is still to be built. And the software means talent such as exhibitors, curators, educators, fundraisers. And this is an area where China-US exchange can really benefit the development of Chinese art.
那么此外当然也可以说第二个因素就是有各种艺术区，在今天啊这个各个城市啊都利用了许多废旧的工厂啊来改造成艺术区啊，这个大家比较了解了北京的798啊，甚至类似于宋庄啊这些啊地方。
The second characteristics of Chinese art is the proliferation of art districts, and these are often abandoned factories or loft buildings. For example, in Beijing, you may be familiar with the 798 art district and also Songzhuang.
大家也知道，中国的经济现在也遇到了一个困难，那就是需要叫做调结构啊，这个转产能，所以又有更多的工厂啊将会腾挪出来，所以这也就为下一步的艺术区的发展啊提供了机会。
As you know, the Chinese economy is now going through a difficult period where it's going through a structural adjustment and as well as reduction of capacity. And this will free out a lot of factory space, which then present an opportunity for art districts to be formed.
应该说在中国从中央政府到地方政府也为叫做艺术产业或者文化产业的发展提供了目前可以说是最优惠的政策支持。当然光有这些是不够的。那么新艺术的出现既需要硬件，更需要有文化的这个思考和实践。
The central government of China and the local government as well have been supporting strongly the development of culture and art industries. But such support and the hardware alone will not be enough. For the software to be developed, for the Chinese art talent to be developed, there needs to be more investment in talent.
那么第三个因素也是大家朋友们所了解的，就是中国的艺术市场的这个一直持续的在发展。虽然经济的发展的速度是缓慢的，但艺术收藏与艺术投资特别是叫做艺术投资似乎成为一种新的一个经济的一个取向。
The third characteristic is the development of the art market or the art industry. As we know that although the Chinese economy has been growing slowly, the art collection, the art investment industry has been growing very fast, and this has been a new trend of the economy.
刚才我这里面向大家介绍一个2015年的几个数字，也可以帮助大家了解中国的市场。2015年全球艺术品市场的总交易额大概是638亿美元这个丁先生这边的数字638亿美元。中国的艺术品市场不包括台湾、香港和澳门，总成交额是118亿美元。
I'll give you several examples to illustrate the burgeoning scene of the Chinese art market. In 2005 alone, so the total volume of art trade, art business in the world is $63.8 billion. And in China alone, that number is $11.8 billion.
也就是说中国的艺术品市场的交易总额占全球的 18.5% 左右。
And that is China's art museum or art market is 18.5% of the entire world.
在这些艺术品交易中这个当代艺术的这个艺术品的市场可以说也占了非常大的份额。
And contemporary art has taken up a very large majority, a very large portion of that total volume of trade.
所以这里我想说的是艺术博物馆、艺术区和艺术市场这三个因素应该说似乎是整个中国艺术目前的一个很重要的一种力量，可以说也形成了一种中国艺术从创作生产到社会消费的这样一个生态。
So the three elements, the new art museums, the art districts, and the art industry, the art market, I would say that these three are the driving forces behind China's art development. And these also helped Chinese art from creation to consumption. And this is the new ecological system of Chinese art.
当然这里我们还不仅仅是谈论中国艺术的外部条件，还要回到艺术本身。那么在这个简短的时间里呢，我试图介绍一些中国艺术的一些新的现象以及和朋友们展开讨论。
Of course, when it comes to art, we have to address not only the external forces, but also art itself. So here during our brief time, I will talk to you about a few new phenomena in Chinese art.
第一个是都市化对中国艺术的影响。
First one is urbanization.
都市化当然在中国应该从二十一世纪开始进入了一个热潮，那么现在呢还在持续。
Urbanization has started in China in the 21st century. Now it's being continued.
那么它就成为中国艺术很重要的主题了。
Which is why it has become an important theme of Chinese art.
看起来都市化的程度还在不断的继续。我昨天到纽约看了一下，我也发现纽约也有点像，前些年大家包括现在大家议论的有点像北京，到处都是工地，都在建设。
And the process of urbanization continues. I was in New York City yesterday, and some may argue that just like Beijing, we have been seeing construction fields all over the place.
所以都市化我想对艺术家来说可能有两个关键词是比较突出的，一个就是景观。
There are two keywords in terms of the effect of urbanization on art that are really prominent. One is scenery.
就像法国导演 Guy Debord 他所称之的有一个景观社会 The society and the spectacle.
So as a French director famously said, right now we are living in a society of sceneries.
所以整个社会的一切东西都变成了视觉的对象，或者说，是一种超级的这个形象在主宰着我们今天的视觉。
So it's fair to say that everything in the world has become an object of visual art or a visual object, and these visual objects are determining the way we live these days.
当然，这里面很强烈地体现出了资本的作用了。
And the effect of capital has also been strongly reflected.
资本的作用从原先的存在啊，这个所谓的 being， 然后到占有 heaven， 现在到了。新的一种形式就是它是外显的 appearance.
And the effect of capital has evolved from being to owning and to appearance.
第二个关键词是剧场，也就是整个社会啊，包括所有的人的角色啊，都在都市化的面前啊发生了变化，以及在艺术家的那个想象性中啊，整个社会是个剧场。
The second keyword is theater. As people's roles in society evolve, to the minds of artists, to the imagination of artists, the world has become a theater.
所以在这方面就成为这个都市化成为一个主题哈，这是第一个。第二个的话，我也可以向大家简要介绍一下所谓的新现实主义啊，这是因为中国有着二十世纪以来非常强烈的现实主义的传统。
The second point I would like to make is the existence of new realism in Chinese art, and this has been also very prominent in Chinese art.
这些当时称之为这个革命现实主义的作品啊，是在一个比较封闭的一个文化环境中产生的啊。当然，它很代表性的这个反映了中国艺术的这个特征。
And the so-called revolutionary realism, new realism, of course, was formed when China was still a closed society. But this has been very representative of Chinese contemporary art during that time.
严格来说，中国的艺术教育里面没有西方在现代主义时期的那么一种关于艺术形式和语言的这种独特的就单一的教学。就专门的教学。
Strictly speaking, Chinese art education did not include Western elements such as the modern languages and the modern characteristics.
但是它有另外一个好的传统，它要求这个艺术家啊，更多的去投入到现实的这样一个生活之中啊，在那里去发现他们能够描绘的主题、素材和形象。
But a more positive effect of that education is that during that period, it required artists to devote their lives to real life, to real people, and then to depict subjects that are reflective of real lives.
这种传统当然没有消失，但是在新一代的艺术家，比如在刘晓东这位艺术家那里他就有了新的这个发展。
This tradition has not faded entirely. For example, in an artist Liu Xiaodong's work, it has been developed or redeveloped.
它的最重要的特点呢是不再在工作室里去想象一种生活或者现实，而是真正到了现实之中。这里面也可以说有一个属于的这个关键词，那就是他觉得自己是个在场者，这种在场的这个艺术创作对他来说十分重要。
And Liu Xiaodong's work has been characterized by not doing his work or not painting his art in studios based out of imagination, but rather in the field. And a key word that may describe his work is presence. So he's present with his subjects during those creative processes.
这些年他总是喜欢到一些我认为具有文化这个焦点的这些场景中，在那里去进行直接的这个绘画。
And these years, Mr. Liu has been visiting locations that, to me, I think are the cultural focus, and he's been creating his work there.
所以从他的作品中，我们可以看到一个比较真实的这个中国，或者他所踏访的地方和真实的这个社会的人。
So his work reflects the real side of China, or the society, the people, and the locations that he has visited.
当然，他的绘画魅力也是支持他的艺术的重要的方面。
And of course, the charm of his art is also an important supportive pillar.
第三个想讲一下的话，中国由于有非常悠久的和强劲的传统，这份资源怎么做当代的转换，这也是中国艺术很多艺术家目前正在探索的课题。
And of course, Chinese art has a very rich history, very rich tradition, and how do you transform that tradition into contemporary art is a subject of many artists' pursuit.
比如说中国的山水画就相当于西方的风景画它是似乎表达一种人与自然和谐的理想。那么怎么把这种非常个人的一种感情转化成一种公共的一种感受比如山水画就变成了这样的公共艺术。
For example, the Chinese 山水 painting, which is the sceneries in freehand brush, is something that's very traditional and it's very personal. And how do you translate that personal feelings into public sentiment is something that Chinese artists are exploring.
同样书法也是这样，中国的书写它也是一种个人的情感的这个流露，但它带有时间的这种印记。现在这种书法被很多这个视觉，这个转换为一种视觉艺术的表达。
The same goes with calligraphy, which is also an expression of personal emotions and time. And Chinese calligraphy has also been transformed into visual art in contemporary art.
当然，在书法的这个当代转换上，徐冰先生是最出色的一个，这一会由他自己来介绍。
And of course, Mr. Xu Bing here is is very famous, is very well known for transforming calligraphy into contemporary art. And I'll let him discuss that himself.
我想讲的是，在一个全球化的背景下，可能把本土的这些重要的艺术的观念或者说一些关于艺术的方法论能够变成一种当代的表达，这可能是有价值的。
So I think that during the era of globalization, how do we translate local art impression or local art methodology into contemporary art expression is really important.
那么在建筑上是这样比如说在中国普利茨克建筑奖的获得者王树大家始终在研究中国的传统建筑和乡村建筑把它变成了一种现代功能的建筑。
For example, in architecture, an award-winning architect in China has transformed Chinese traditional architecture into more functional architecture.
这样一种转换当然不仅仅是营造一种诗意的栖居的这个环境，实际上更重要的是一种文化的态度。
And such transformation has not only created a poetic living environment, it is also representative of a cultural attitude.
同样这建筑师朱培在为一个陶瓷的博物馆做一个设计的时候他也充分考虑了这个本土的这样一种陶瓷这个烧的窑的那些形式把它进行了转换。
And another architect, Zhu Pei, has turned the process of porcelain making into an exhibition hall, into a museum, and it's reflective of the traditional porcelain making process.
当然我还要简要提一下在美国的蔡国强大家都熟悉他的火药画。
Of course, I still have to mention Mr. 蔡国强 who is living in the United States.
但是火药本来是东方的这个传统，但是当他把火药的这个造型和中国的像山水画这样的很长卷的形式结合起来的时候，他的一种文化属性似乎更加鲜明。
And he's been able to combine firepowder with China's shanshui painting, China's ink wash painting, and it has created a unique form of art.
当然我还想最简要的介绍一下，比如在中国现在科技的艺术，特别是数字技术的艺术，也是非常的发展的非常强劲。比如说妙小春，他就多年来在用数字来形成一个他所理解的世界。
And Chinese digital art has also been developed very rapidly. For example, Liao Xiaochun, which is a digital artist, has been using digital forms to depict the world to his mind.
当然，这个板块我似乎没有时间讲了。就是在中国，现在这个新的公共艺术啊，一个与城市有关的艺术也在迅速的发展。比如我们就在德国的卡塞尔做过一次介绍中国公共艺术的活动。
The Chinese public art scene has also been developing very rapidly. For example, in Kassel, Germany, we have organized an exhibition of Chinese public art.
对，这位年轻艺术家带过去的是和一个博物馆啊，在有关的啊这样一个造型。
And this young artist has created an art that's related to the museum.
当然这个艺术家他用在德国制造的这个汽车的废件拼成了一个大的巨大的关公，这是中国的一个城市的一个保护神。
And this young Chinese artist created a statue of Guan Gong, which is a Chinese god from before, and with scrap auto parts.
当然这类的艺术的话，很多既是根据这公共空间的一种特性，同时呢也发挥了想象。
And these artworks are based on the imagination as well as its combination with the public space.
当然了，在所有这些这个艺术现象里面，我们所归根到底是在艺术家他对这个社会的这种现实和特别是文化的目前的这样一种力量的感知。在这方面，徐冰先生无疑是十分出色的。我这里不能介绍他的作品，但是我想作为一个引子由他来继续深化。我接下来再和大家在一起讨论。
Among all these artworks, everything is a reflection of the artist's own perception of the society and of the culture. And would like to end with Mr. Xu Bing's work, which I will not discuss but use as a segue to introduce my colleague.
Thank you very much.
对，我今天非常高兴能够有这个机会呢，在这个霍普斯金学院呢，做一个和大家分享的讲演。
It's a great pleasure for me to come to the Brookings Institution, and to share with you my thoughts.
对，首先呢，我想感谢这个李成教授，这个对这个对这个活动的这种那个这种精心的安排。
First of all, I'd like to thank Dr. Cheng Li for his work, for his organization of this event.
对，我们其实在很早的时候，在在美国一次活动中见过面，那都十多年以前了。
We have actually met a long time ago, almost a decade ago in the United States during another event.
对，也非常高兴能够也是老朋友那个 Jane Store 的这种今天对这个活动的这种参与，因为他对中国的艺术和对我的艺术都是非常的有这个深入的研究的。
And it's also a great pleasure to see Ms. Jan Stewart, who's an old friend as well, and she has done a lot of research on Chinese art and my work as well.
当然了，那个特别感谢这个李红参赞和这个所有的为这个活动所做出这个工作的人。
And also, I'd like to thank, of course, Minister Li Hong from the Chinese Embassy and all the staff that have contributed to this event.
刚才范院长呢，那个从这个宏观上对中国当代艺术以及与全球的文化语境之间的关系的这种分析。
Mr. Fan offered a fantastic analysis of Chinese contemporary art and its relationship with the macro, the broader global art.
我呢，这个作为一个艺术家。我想呢，这个今天呢，从一个作为艺术家的一个个案的工作来这个讲呢，讲一下，就是说这个在这个一个全球的一个文化语境中呢，这个艺术家是就是艺术家的这个个人的这种文化基因是如何发挥作用的。
So for myself as an individual artist, I would like to offer myself as an individual case that illustrates how the one artist's own cultural genes has been playing a role in the global cultural context.
另外呢，就是说，我想谈一下呢，就是艺术家的这个创造力是如何通过这个对社会能量的转化而获取的。
Also, I'd like to discuss how an artist's creativity is transformed through the energy from the society.
Yeah, 我呢，这个先讲这个，就是作为艺术家的个人的文化基因是如何发挥作用的。
So, first of all, I'd like to begin with the role of an individual artist's own cultural genes.
因为我想，在这之前，我想先讲一下，就是说我对这个整个这世界的一个大的一个全球关系的一个判断。
And I'd like to begin also with my own perception, my own judgment of the world.
实际上呢，那个实际上全球化的这个背后呢，其实藏着两个东西了。一个是什么？就是说这个柏林墙倒了以后呢，这个整个世界的这种单一的资本主义价值观的推行呢，而与这个地方的文化宗教之间的这个前所未有的冲突。
There are two hidden elements behind the process of globalization. Since the falling of the Berlin Wall, the prevailing culture or the universal value of capitalism has seen a lot of conflicts conflicts with local culture and local art.
另外一点呢，是这个全球文明的整体发展呢。与这个自然，就是与自然之间出现了前所未有的紧张。
And also, the overall development of global civilization has also created an unprecedented tension between the world and the nature world that we live in.
另外一点呢，特征呢，就是说这个数字化的这种急速的发展，或者让世界的变异，让这个传统的哲学、宗教。和这个旧的思维的习惯，包括我们人的这个生理的思维的节奏，实际上面对这些呢，变得非常被动。
Another element is the development of so-called digitalization. The development of digital technology has transformed society, philosophy, religion, and even our own physiological patterns. So this has made the aforementioned elements a passive behavior almost.
实际上人类呢没有一个积累足够的经验来解释和面对这个变异极快的世界。
So the human race has not accumulated enough knowledge or experience to explain this rapidly changing world.
对，这其实就涉及到作为艺术家我们怎么样面对这个时代的现场以及我们应该怎么工作。
So as artists, this poses a question of how do we face the time we live in and how do we perform our work?
我呢，那个，作为个人的体会呢，我先讲什么呢？就是说这个，面对这样一个大的一个社会的一个语境，就是我们作为每一个艺术家身上所携带的特殊的文化基因，是应该怎么样让它生效？
So as an individual artist, my understanding is how do we make our own, as individual artists, our own cultural genes effective in this social context?
Yeah. 我先想讲一下这个英文方块字这个作品。
I'd like to give you a brief overview of this artwork, which is English characters.
实际上呢，那个我90年呢来到美国。
I came to the U.S. in 1990.
Yeah, 这个实际上我当时来的时候，我带了很多过去的旧的作品，但是这些作品呢，我都藏在箱子底下，就是没有拿出来给人家看，也不敢拿出来给人看。因为我想让别人感觉我天生就是一个当代艺术家。
In fact, when I first came to the U.S. in 1990, I had hidden a lot of my old works under my suitcases because I didn't want to show them these. I would like to appear as a contemporary artist.
Yeah. 但实际上呢，这个通过我的作品呢，最后呢却强烈地反映出我身上所携带的特殊的文化基因。
But in reality, some of these old works of mine are strong reflections of my own unique cultural genes.
这些文化基因是什么呢？现在分析起来就是，比如说很强的中国传统文化的基因，以及呢这个社会主义时期的早期的社会主义时期的经验，以及呢这个改革开放的经验。以及呢，我们在西方的有这个，我个人作为有十八年的生活的经验，就是等于是与西方交流的经验，这些呢都作为我们的身上所携带的传统。
So if you have to decompose my cultural DNA, there are a few elements that can be discovered. For example, traditional Chinese culture, early socialism culture, and when China first began its opening up process, as well as my 18 years of experience living in the West. So these together form my cultural DNA.
对，这个最初的这种，我后来就发现呢，实际上你这个要掩盖的自己的身上所携带的这些基因，但是这些东西呢却深藏在你体内，就是说这个它其实藏得很深，这个在你需要的时候其实它会出来帮助你工作。
So these cultural DNA elements, even if you're trying to hide them, they are indeed deeply embedded in yourselves, and when needed, they will emerge again and to help your work.
比如说这个，我想说这个新英文书法这个英文风格的这个作品呢，这个系列呢，一个是就是说我个人的这个文化与这个当时的这种西方文化之间的这种强烈的这种冲突。
And this series of work, English Chinese calligraphy, is a reflection of the conflict between my own culture and Western civilization.
我想大家其实都是，大家可能是可以读这几个字的 ，art for the people。
I think you may even be able to read these characters or words, art for the people.
它给你一个很强的中国文化的外表，但实际上里面呢，却是西方的文明。
So on the facade, it looks like Chinese culture, but within it is Western civilization.
我们在书写的时候，我们实在是不知道我们在写中文还是在写英文。
So when we write these, we really didn't have a clue whether we're writing in Chinese or English.
因为实际上呢，我们还没有一个现成的概念和知识来解释这样的书法。
In fact, we don't really have an existing concept that supports or explains calligraphy in this form.
我把这个展览的方式呢，做成了一个教室。实际上呢，我是希望人们呢，这个看到一个熟悉的一个中国书法的教室，但当他们进入以后呢，却发现这个教室的与众不同之处，而这些文字与他们的自身的文化之间的深切的关系。
I have turned my exhibitions into a classroom that's familiar in China because they look like a Chinese traditional calligraphy classroom. But once people walk into this classroom, they will find Western cultural elements that they are familiar with.
实际上，我这种装置的形式呢，来自于我对当代艺术的一个毛病的反省。因为我觉得当代艺术有一个最大的问题是与一般人之间的鸿沟。
This form of exhibition reflects my own thought on a problem that exists in contemporary art, which is the huge gap between art and ordinary folks.
因为在我的这个最初的文化教育中呢，艺术与人民的关系，我觉得是一个非常重要的，最初给我建立的一个艺术的概念。
So when I first began my artistic exchanges, the relationship between art and people has been something that's deeply embedded in my own perception of art.
这个思想在我从事全球的当代艺术的创作中就在发挥作用。
And this idea has been playing an important role during my work of global contemporary art.
这是为了这个作品，这个装置，我这个做的一个教科书。在讲如何写这样的书法，这个看上去是一个中文书，但其实是个英文书。
So this is a textbook that I created for this form of exhibition, which is a classroom, and this looks like a Chinese book, but it's actually an English book.
下面呢，我再讲第二个问题，就是说中国传统文化是如何在我的创作中发挥作用的。
Second point I would like to address is how does Chinese traditional culture play a role in my works?
这个呢，实际上是一本我用这个标识，就是我用这个多少年来搜集来的标识书写的一本书。这本书呢，是一本小说一样的东西，但是呢，它却是任何人都能读懂的一本书。
This is a book that I composed, that I made with signs that I collected throughout the years. It's a novel, it's made of signs, but it's a book that everyone can read and understand.
它讲一个人的一天的24小时的生活。
It talks about the 24 hours of a person's daily life.
这个太强了，所以这个就没有作用，没关系。我们看这个第二行，就是从家里坐地铁去公司，第三行是上网看信，是吧？第四行十点钟这个在 Starbucks 这个 talk， 对，然后对。
So if we read the second row is a person taking subway to the company to work, and the third row, the third line is this person getting on the internet and reading emails and then going to Starbucks.
对，这本书与我最早的那个天书不同，那本书是谁都读不懂，但这本书是谁都能读懂。
This book is a bit different from my earlier work, the book from the heaven. That book nobody can understand, but this book everyone can read.
这是从十多年以前我就开始收集，这些标识。这里的标识没有一个是我创造的，而都是收集来的。
These are some of the signages that I kept collecting over the past more than a decade. And I didn't create any of these signages. These are all my collections.
因为收集来的这些标识呢，我认为呢，像是新一轮的象形文字。
Because I think that these signs that I collected are the new round of signage language.
同时呢，我们还做了一个软件。这个软件呢，你打英文进去和打中文进去，最后它都会变成 icon 的 language。
We have also created a software that no matter you input in Chinese or English, it all eventually turns into icons.
这个时候我们就有了一个不同语言之间的一个交流站。
And this is a hub for exchange between different languages.
这本书呢，在世界各地出版都不用翻译。
And this book, no matter where it's published in the world, requires no translation.
而且那个年轻人特别喜欢。
And it's also favored by young people.
但是我在这里为什么要讲这个作品？实际上我在想，这个作品虽然非常当代的，但实际上它真正的这种灵感的来源呢，却来自于我身上所携带的中国文化中的读图的传统。
So why do I bring up this piece of work? Because not only because it is a contemporary artwork, but also because it reflects my own Chinese traditional culture, my own Chinese tradition of reading graphs, reading icons.
下面再介绍一个作品呢，是这个叫《背后的故事》。
The next work I'd like to show you is called The Stories Behind.
这个画呢，实际上不是一幅由画布或者宣纸构成的绘画，而是一个由光构成的绘画。
This painting is actually not done on paper or canvas. It's actually done with light.
这是这个画的背后。
This is what's behind this painting.
实际上我把这个这个玻璃呢改成这个 milky glass， 摆成一个宣纸玻璃，然后呢这个最后面呢是由一些植物啊树枝啊这个垃圾啊这个构成的一种就是用这些东西来调节空间中的光的状况，而由前面这块毛玻璃记录了这个空间中的光的状况。
Actually, you'll see that behind this glass, this is a piece of glass that actually turned into a milky glass, and behind it are plants, different, even garbages that were placed strategically to adjust for light, and eventually they together form this painting.
这个概念其实来自于 Jen. 这个当时呢，这个是在 Jen 呢是策划了在大英博物馆的背后的故事的展览。
This idea actually originated from Jen, who at the British Museum has curated this exhibition.
Yeah. 然后当时呢，这个作品做完了以后呢，看上去真的是一幅很漂亮的、很优雅的中国绘画。但是观众到背后呢，却可以看到这个绘画背后的故事。
So this work, after its completion, it looks like a very elegant Chinese painting. But as the viewers go to the back of the painting, they'll see the stories behind it.
然后 Jen 呢就说呢，这是一种绘画。我说这是一个装置。他说这是一个光的绘画。
So Jen told me that this is indeed a painting, and I said this is more of a device. But she says that this is a painting with light.
这是我们当时工作的一个状况。嗯。
And this is our work in progress.
这讲这件作品呢，其实我想讲的是，就是说这个，中国传统文化和当代文化之间的一种转换的关系。
And the reason why I brought up this work is to illustrate the transformative relationship between Chinese traditional art and contemporary art.
这个是前一阶段我们在北京的塑料三厂，做的一个装置，是根据一个塑料三厂的一个旧工厂。的现场的一些材料和垃圾转换成的一幅青绿山水。
And this is an art work that we a device that we set up at the third plastic factory in Beijing, which is an abandoned factory, and we used a lot of the factory waste and garbages to together form this 山水 painting.
这是我们工作的背后的一个状况。
And this is our the process.
居然呢，用中国的当代的这些的人，就是说人类制造的这些塑料的垃圾，居然可以做出一幅这么漂亮的一幅青绿山水。我想呢，中国古人真的很了不起，他呢，这么早呢就创造了这样的青绿山水的方式，像是对我们今人的一个提示。
So the fact that we were able to create this work, this artwork with plastic waste, is a great point that illustrates that you know, the traditional Chinese culture and ancient Chinese artists were able to create this art form, this shanshui painting, that we can then recreate with contemporary elements.
这是刚才范院长放过的一张片子，这个实际上是张大千的最后的一幅画。
This is an image that Mr. Fan showed you earlier. This is actually the last painting of Zhang Daqian, a very famous Chinese artist.
而实际上这些这个泼墨和青绿都是由这些塑料做成的。
And in fact, all the brushwork, all the inkwork is done through light and through plastic waste.
实际上我在这想讲什么呢？就是说这个，实际上在我们的这个中国的传统的文明中到底有什么东西是有价值的。
So through these examples, I'd like to explore the question, what are the really valuable elements from Chinese traditional civilization?
比如说这个中国传统文明中呢其实有一个很重要的思想是天人合一的思想或者敬畏自然的思想。
For example, a very important element in Chinese traditional culture is to fear or to respect the nature.
但是在一二百年以前呢，这个思想没有价值。为什么呢？因为那个时候的人类的整体的文明呢，是在发展工业文明和这个 对这个当代文明的一个推进。
But such an element or such respect or fear of the nature wasn't of great value 100, 200 years ago because during that time the human race was propelled by its need to industrialize and to modernize.
但是同样的一个文明在今天，同样的一个天人合一的价值观在今天就成了一个最当代的文明和这个对这个人类文明发展到今天的弊病的部分具有调节作用和新的启示作用的文明的或者说一个文化。
But the same cultural element, which is the harmony between nature and human, plays an important role and offers new inspirations for contemporary civilization.
这个所以在我看来呢，传统与当代之间呢，它其实是在一个文明发展到不同阶段的一个关系之中相互转换的。
So in my view, traditional and contemporary art are actually interchangeable, intertransforming, during our civilization process.
这也是我的很多的创作，有些人认为是非常的传统，有些人认为是非常的当代的一个我的一个认识的基本的理念。
And this is why, and this is also my understanding, my perception of the reason why my work has been perceived by some as traditional and by others as contemporary.
下面呢，我再讲这个下一个问题，就是说是这个作为艺术家的一个创作能量是如何从社会的能量中获取和转换而来的。
And my next point is, how does the creative energy of an artist is transformed from the energy in the society?
我想说整个今天的国际的关系以及呢中国的社会现场实际上是足够聚集出巨大的能量的一个社会现场。
The international relations today and the Chinese society combined presents a very strong energy field for us.
特别是中国的这个这个社会，它呢什么时候都是聚集出能量的一个地方。
In particular, the Chinese society, no matter what time you live in, it always creates a lot of energy.
比如说社会主义时期，比如说这个文革时期，比如说这改革开放的这些时期，我们都可以看到这个地方呢是一个创造巨大能量的地方。但是关键是这些能量用在什么地方？如果用对了，就是非常积极的；如果用错了，就是非常有问题的。
For example, during different periods of Chinese history, the early socialism days, Cultural Revolution, reform and opening up, all these time periods provide a very strong energy field. And if they are used correctly, they will offer a lot of positive influence to society. But if wrongly, they will also do a lot of damage.
Yeah. 这个对我来说呢，就是过去呢，我认为呢，这个艺术家的创造力来自于艺术家的 IQ 的水平。但是我现在觉得呢，最重要的来自于你是否懂得将社会现场的能量转换成有效的艺术语言，而通过你的作品体现出来。
To me, in the past, I used to believe that the artist's ability resides within his or her own abilities. But now I think that it's really important for artists to translate social energies into artistic expressions and languages that they can internalize.
为什么说创造力来自于此？是因为社会现场它是永远不断的变化的。
The reason why I think creativity should originate from this is because the social scene, the social context, is forever changing.
它具有巨大的试验性，而这种巨大的试验性呢，总让艺术家有这个新的感受和意见要说。
It is extremely experimental, the social context, and it always offers artists with new feelings and new sentiments that needs to be expressed.
而这种新的话是过去没有人说过的，所以我们必须要找到新的艺术的语汇来说。这个时候，新的艺术语汇就出现了。
And these new expressions have not been said before, so that's why we are in constant pursuit of new artistic language, new artistic expressions.
这个呢是凤凰这个作品，是我 八年以前回到中国，回到中央美术学院我的母校，然后呢做了一件新的作品。
And this painting is something I created 8 years ago when I returned to China to the Central Academy of Fine Arts, my alma mater.
这是一对呢每只30米长的这个凤凰，它的材料来自于北京的建筑现场的废料。
And these are in 30 meters in width each, and the materials are from the construction waste from Beijing's construction fields.
后来我就在想，为什么我在中国和一回到中国做的作品就非常巨大，像过去的天书和长城。
I started to reflect why every time I go back to China, the form of my art has become gigantic, has become very large. For example, the book from the heaven and the Great Wall, which are my previous works.
Yeah, 实际上呢，这个尺寸其实它成为了一个艺术的一个语言的一部分，而这个艺术的语言的部分呢，并不是空穴来风的，它是由于这个现场的空间和这个现场的能量所决定的。
And the dimensions of my work actually are part of my artistic expression, part of my artistic language that's determined by the energy and the space offered by the field that I work in.
这个作品其实探讨了很多的社会的问题，比如说这个资本和劳动之间的关系，以及人类创造了这么多的垃圾和碎片，我们如何重新的使用和面对我们制造出的这些碎片以及垃圾。
So this work, which is called Phoenix, is a reflection of many elements. For example, the relationship between capital and labor, and also all the waste and fragments that we create in life, and how do we face them, how do we use them.
其实它晚上就会变成这个样子。
And this is how it appears at night.
这是在美国的 Max Mocha 的展览的一个效果。
And this is when it's on exhibition in the U.S.
这是在这个纽约的 St. John's Divine 大教堂展览的一个效果。
And this is in the St. John's Cathedral in New York.
去年的这个凤凰去了威尼斯的双年展。
And the Phoenix went to the biennials in Venice last year.
这个它一到晚上，这些灯就出来了。
So these lights will come to life at night.
但是威尼斯晚上没人看到，
因
为它七点就关门了，对。所以这凤凰就像自己在那儿美少年独享，在河边独享自己的美貌一样的。
But in Venice, the exhibition hall is closed after 7, so the phoenix is enjoying its appearance alone by the river.
最后我再介绍一个作品。我介绍这个作品呢，实际上也是在探讨这个我们如何使用这个人类当代文明发展到今天的所呈现的一些创作的材料来推动我们的创造的，推到我们的艺术创造的。
And the last work of art I'd like to show you, like to share with you, is an example of how do we use new materials in our creative processes.
Yeah. 我现在这是我正在工作的一个，就是我在做一个电影，这个电影的题目叫这个《蜻蜓之眼》。这是我们的工作室，我们的工作室呢，实际上是在这个搜录这个在网络上出现的监控视频的画面。
This is actually a film project that me and my studio is working on. It's called Eye of the Dragonfly, and it's a collection of all the surveillance videos that we can find on the internet.
Yeah, 这是这个电影呢。下边我把这个电影给大家放一下。
I'll show you a segment from this film.
有这个，还有 sound.这个电影是一个 trailer， 它是3分钟。
So this is a trailer that lasts 3 minutes.
从无处不在的监控记录中提取出上万小时的影像，破译后发现的一个女人真实的故事。
一念天堂，一念地狱，一旦舍戒，你此生将与佛门无缘。
月薪500，
外面不是写了2000吗？
你没看到药物关单证了吗？激光超导塑形让牛的乳房个个都是标准尺寸，
所以他们说屋子里女人长相很重，脸盘圆润的巨才，
真是科学与生物较量的伟大胜利。
这也许就是你的命啊。
婷婷，奇怪这孩子哪儿都不像你。
郎才少女吗？
操，真有才！
不是操，是造，好不好？
姓柯的，你个穷逼样！
姓赵的，算你狠！你等着！
我恨不得他去死！
只要你一句话，这么干你就别管了。
我的情况和新闻里说的一样。
如果娶的妻子是经过加工的，那就如同买回一辆由夏利改装了法拉利外壳的车，使用起来。
注意法庭用语。
这不是有先例吗？准能赢。
见鬼了，有长得这么像的人。
真服了这人才型法官了。要这样，那是不是男的不是处男，没对妻子说过也算欺骗啊？
现在这社会真是把女人往死里整。
给女儿也整不就得了，又不是没有。
那也不能一代一代整下去啊。
网上有人说的才逗呢，闹了半天娶个亚裔什么姐姐。
有点蹊跷。
等将来啊，把第四印象信息从自然中提出来，就知道真相了。
原来这些看似毫无关系又如此有着必然关系的影像片段，揭示了我们眼睛无法看到的东西。
这个电影呢完成了以后呢，会是谢谢大家。完成了以后会是80分钟。这个80分钟呢，这个电影呢非常特殊，就是因为它的每一帧的画面都是在社会现场中真实发生的。
This film, after it's completed, will be 80 minutes in length, and it's very unique because every frame from this film is from a real scene from society.
Yeah, 但是呢，这个我感兴趣的是这种新的工作方法，比如说我们没有一个摄影师，但是全国和这个部分世界的摄像头24小时都在为我们工作。
And what I'm interested in is this new methodology, because we do not have a camera crew, but the surveillance cameras in China and around the world are working for us 24/7.
但是我没有一个演员，但是这里面的现实生活中生活的人就有可能成为最出色的演员，在我们这个电影中出现。
We don't have actors or actresses, but the people who appear in this film will be the best talent that will be shown.
我感兴趣，这是一种与当代文明形态相匹配的新的工作方法和创造艺术的方法。
So this is a new methodology and a new creative process that I would like to explore, one that reflects art and the relationship between art and the contemporary world.
这种方法呢，就像滴滴打车或者 Uber 打车一样，这个公司和这个系统呢，没有一辆车，但是全城的车都在为它工作。
This new methodology is like car sharing software such as Uber and Didi in China. These companies do not own a single vehicle, but all the cars in the cities are working for them.
这是我探索的一个当代的艺术创作的一个方法，谢谢大家。
And this is my exploration of the new methodology in contemporary art. Thank you.
Well, I have tried to speak in many different places, but I've never had to speak after a film like that, which I think has got our minds all in a whirl.But what it does, it provides a segue for me to say one of the things that I have always admired about Xu Bing as an artist is I think he is the most socially responsible artist I know. And that comes out over and over in his work, and I want to come back to that. It's a great honor to be here.But after two such fantastic presentations, there's not a lot for me to say. And we're short on time. But the first question I wanted to ask you is, growing up, if most of you or some of you have grown up in America, when you think of Chinese art, you have a very vague sense of what it is.Although we do have museums and we've become increasingly interested in Chinese art, that's great. But when people talk about contemporary Chinese art, they always talk about the global art market. And they talk about it being Western-centric and how China's being forced to conform to Western traditions. Well, may I ask, do you know where global art started?If I asked in 1980, was it a Western-centric global art market? Yes. If I asked you 10 centuries ago, the beginning of the global art market was in China. And the Chinese global art market started through ceramics, one of the greatest, the first global commodity. And it took painting and shape and glaze, technology, aesthetics all over the world.Nobody complained. Everybody was happy to receive things from China. So my point is just to say that when we talk about this East-West, we shouldn't be looking at just decades. We should be looking at the fact that we have centuries of interaction as people. And what art does, it is a bridge.And it is something that opens our minds. And what we want to recognize is that cultures are taking from each other all the time. So we have borrowed from China many times in our traditions. And China has taken certain shock value from Western art in recent time. But that's fine. If you go back to the 18th century, in the Qing Dynasty,The most admired popular artists were the Italian Jesuits. And they were the first in recent times, if you count a couple hundred years as recent, they were the first hybrid artists, completely taking on board Chinese ways of painting, Chinese ways of seeing, and merging it with their own vision of what they had grown up with in Europe, in Italy, in France.So this idea of artists borrowing from each other's traditions is not new, and it's not something alien in China. So it is natural there, and it is natural here. But I think it's some of our art critics that need to maybe do a better job at opening their minds. At the British Museum in 2011, when I did a show inviting Xu Bing to do the background story that you saw,The Financial Times wanted to cover, and I thought, great. But Jamal Anderlani, who is not primarily an art critic, the first thing he said was, but I'll only cover this story in the Financial Times if you'll also talk about Ai Weiwei. Okay, why? Well, yes, he had just been arrested.And yes, he's an elephant in the room because he hasn't been mentioned. But if I ask you, who is the Chinese artist that is best known in the United States of America, that is the one name everybody can say. Now, it's easier to pronounce. That gives him some leg up. But My point is that he is just one artist. And yet we, as a culture, have become fixated on that. And so what I like about this panel, what I like about Fan Dian's work and all the exhibitions that he's taking abroad as well as curating in China, is we're saying China is fantastic because it has the largest breadth of creativity and artists working with different responses. If you want to say, well, China's being restrictive, that they don't love Ai Weiwei's work, you can say that. But because I have a very short amount of time, the thought I want to leave you with is the artist who has flourished in China, the artist who has flourished internationally, is Xu Bing. And you know what? He is the most dangerous artist I've ever met. Why is he dangerous? Because he doesn't look at whether you're Chinese or American or whatever you are. He questions your ability to interpret what you see. He actually says, perhaps everything you see is an illusion. Perhaps you haven't really thought to the bottom of it. Now, Chinese have played with the idea of danger for a long time. You go to a beautiful Suzhou garden, and you see these wonderful artificial mountains. They're just a rock planted into the ground. And there's a whole theory about the rocks. Make them look dangerous. Make them look like they're going to topple over. You have a top-heavy part up here at the top, and then it gets very narrow. Well, what you don't know when you go by is that it's planted very deeply in the ground. It's not going to topple over. But so this is playing with the mind, pushing you. Chinese painting in the Song Dynasty, was it political? Well, there were a whole group of artists who were writing poems on their paintings in the rhyme scheme of dissident literati so that they could get messages across and they could convey criticism without being overt. There's a painter in the Yuan Dynasty who didn't like the takeover of that particular government, so he painted orchids without ground under them. Well, if you look at all of the artists that Fan Dian showed us, if you look at Xu Bing's work, there are things you can code and decode through looking, asking, questioning. But you know, what you read and see won't always be what the artist put there. What the artist really put there is the gift of creativity, the gift of marshaling all of the world around them and putting it together in a way that is stimulating and makes you think, makes you use your mind. That's what's dangerous. That's also what builds the bridges. So I think Chinese art is spot on, that it's a very full, rich tradition. I think that there is a lot of tolerance for the shock factor and for the tradition. I think Xu Bing, he's Chinese. There's no doubt about that. But you see things in his work that are because he lived in the West too. But remember, that's not new. Castiglione, or Long Shuning was his Chinese name, this 18th century Italian living in China, he was the same. So this isn't a new concept, but this is a concept where China has given us a lot of the best artists the world has today. And so if it's only 18.5% of the global market now, it's just going to keep going up because of the great creativity. Thank you.
Okay, I have never been in a Brookings event. There's so many camera clicks. And that's fantastic. I tell you a lot about the panels. And Shine, could you translate this? Yeah. Well, let me start with, I have a few questions for all the panelists. But start with the first one. In Xibing's presentation, you mentioned about the DNA elements in your artwork, which have four elements. Grew up during the Cultural Revolution, and immersed in Chinese tradition and Chinese culture. And certainly that your stay in the United States also influenced you with the Western culture. And finally, the rise of commercialism as a result of market reform. Now, this is the elements, I think, that really integrate together, make your generation, our generation, of the Chinese artists unique. My question is whether you should treat, in your view, do you think these four elements more or less carry the same weight, or there's any one particular element among these four really shaped your artwork? So that's my question for both of you.
No, 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 no. 就是你这个直接是就你的作品来谈谈
的。谢谢李教授的这个问题哈，他主要还是就是说在说这个这些文化的 DNA 就是哪一个更它之间的关系，
对它的关系是不是有一个对你的影响要大于其他的，或者是他们是不能够，这个问题也许是很愚蠢的问题，应该说也许可以是这些所有的这个 four element 是它就是融合在一起，你很难划分他们，或者是有一个起了一个决定因素，这是我的问题。
对，我想这些元素呢确实是在今天的我们这个年龄层的中国艺术家身上都是共有的。
I think these elements are actually shared traits of artists, Chinese artists in our generation.
我觉得我们很幸运，是因为我们好像是生活了好几辈子。
We're fortunate because it almost looks like we've lived several lives.
所以让我们的思维呢就变得比较的丰富，或者有更多的层面。
So that our thinking, our philosophy has different layers and it's very complex.
就是这可以让我们避免呢过于的单一的思想来判断这个复杂的世界。
This helps us prevent viewing a very complex world through a singular lens.
当然呢，这个刚才李成教授说这个哪一个可能更重要，我觉得在我看来呢，好像中国传统文化在我的思维中好像更起作用。
Dr. Lee asked me which element is more important. To me, I think Chinese traditional culture plays a more important role.
为什么这么说？因为呢，实际上其他的几个文化的营养，实际上都与这个传统文化是发生关系的。
So why do I say that? Because I think that the nutrition offered by Chinese traditional culture is actually related to all these other elements.
比如说这个在社会主义时期，这个中国社会主义时期的很多方法，甚至到了文革时期，毛的很多的工作方法，实际上是变了形的，中国传统的方法和思维的路数。
So, for example, during the socialist era and during Mao's era, even during the Cultural Revolution, a lot of the way that things worked, the way that Mao worked, was actually a changed form of Chinese traditional culture.
Yeah. 当然呢，这个到了改革开放以后，或者说这个在西方，在西方的工作和体会，实际上我发现真正帮助我的是中国的传统的文化在帮助我在西方工作。
And with regards to the reform and opening up period and my own experience in the West, I think that it's in fact traditional Chinese culture that has helped me work and create in the West.
Okay. 实际上，但是我们又说了，社会主义时期或者特别是文革时期，它是一个隔断传统文化的。但是为什么我们身上仍然具有这种东西？我是想说呢，就是说中国传统文化确实有一个特性。 它这个特性就在于，它其实并不是由文字所记载的一个文化形态，而更多的这个文化的一个很核心的一个生命力，它其实是通过我们和上一代人之间的接触，以及这一代人的说话的方式，以及他们处理事情的方式，甚至他们的这个说话的语气和节奏，以及。 我们的中国的写字的方式，这些东西都让我们身上其实深深的就是带着这样的一种文化的基因。这个基因呢，真是非常的顽固和这个有效，并不是说有效，就是说它发挥作用。
So although the Cultural Revolution and the Socialist period presents a fault line in Chinese traditional culture, there is one unique characteristic that makes Chinese traditional culture stick, because it is not documented by words or by language, but rather it is recorded through our interactions with our previous generations, through the way that they talked, the tone, the tempo of their speeches, and this has resulted in the traditional culture's DNA to be very stubborn and to be very effective.
其实任何文化基因其实都带有优质和弊病的部分，就看你怎么样使用，以及它的弊病的部分呢，也可以作为我们思维的一个内容。
In fact, any cultural DNA has its positive and negative sides. It's all a matter of how do we put them to use, and even the negative elements can be turned into positive.
总而言之呢，这个传统文化必须被激活才能生效。
To sum up, traditional culture must be activated in order for it to be effective.
Thank you, President Fan. Do you want to? No, it's for you, this one.
我跟徐斌事先没有通过气，但是我的感受是这样。 对于我来说，也好像都活过了几个辈子。
I have not rehearsed this with Mr. Xu Bing, but I actually share the exact same feeling, which is I feel that I have lived through several lifetimes.
这就是因为中国这个变化太大，中国和世界的关系也发生不同时代的一种变化。
And this is a result of the drastic changes that China has experienced, as well as its relationship with the world that's also constantly changing.
应该说，从1980年代以来，这个中国和西方的这个艺术的这种关系，就是两股。 叫做直接较量的、矛盾的、纠结的，也是相互这个激荡的一种力量，那两种的力量。
Since the 1980s, it's fair to say that the forces of Chinese art and Western art have been characterized by two forces. One is one that's characterized by contrast, competition, and the second is mutual inspiration.
因为西方的现代主义啊。 从1980年代初，可以说进入中国。我想举的例子就是1981年来自波士顿的这个艺术藏品，在中国的上海、北京几个地方展出，可以说是让中国艺术家第一次看到了西方现代主义的原作。
So the Western contemporary art was first introduced to China in the early 1980s. And in 1981, an art collection, art exhibition from Boston was displayed in Shanghai and Beijing. And that was the inception of Western contemporary art in China.
当然到了1986年吧，这个劳什伯的一个大型的个展在北京的展出，更是让人看到了。 艺术原来可以是这样，这样的一种问题。
And in 1986, a large-scale exhibition from Luxembourg was displayed in Beijing, and this opened people's eyes and made them see a new form, a new world of contemporary art.
所以我是搞这个艺术、这个历史研究和评论的。 所以严格来说有一段时间啊，我对西方艺术的理论啊，他们的一些概念术语讨论的一些关键词焦点的兴趣远远超过对中国艺术的关注。
So as someone who studies art history and as an art critic, I place far more emphasis back then on contemplating and studying the terminologies, the focus points of Western art than my focus on Chinese art.
可以说在中国艺术界我们的话语或者说词汇在某种程度上很大一部分是来自西方的。这就掩盖了或者这个中国自身原有的有关于文艺甚至关于艺术的这种观念，包括评价的这个词汇，更重要的是一种看待问题的方式。
So the lexicon within the Chinese art community is actually heavily influenced by Western contemporary art, and such lexicon overshadows China's own language, China's own way critiquing art and China's own perception in art.
所以刚才在李先生提到了这几个方面哈，比如徐斌先生觉得传统的这个基因对他来说可能是最重要的一个因素。可能对我来说，从理论角度来说，我还是比较注意看待这个国际艺术界目前大家正在关注哪些问题，讨论哪些问题。在中国又如何能够和艺术家朋友们在讨论中呢？大家能够形成一些共识，也就是如何能够用中国方式就在当代艺术里面是否能够有一种中国方式这个能够构成在国际艺术界中的一种也可以说是一种声音或者能够形成一点新的力量。
So to answer Dr. Li's question, among the several elements that he mentioned, although my colleague Mr. Xu Bing thinks that traditional culture plays a more important role, to me, from a theoretical perspective, from a perspective of research, I think that the international art community has played an important role in Chinese art. It's important for Chinese artists to get into discussions and conversations with international artists and try to form a consensus of how we can use the Chinese way to adopt the Chinese voice in international art.
在某种程度上的话，全球化是给中国带来机会，大家似乎都处在一个新的起跑线上。
So to a certain extent, globalization offers China new opportunities, and it has made China and the rest of the world to be at the same starting point.
所以艺术家不忘记自己的文化基因，并且有意识地让这种基因产生作用，我觉得这是非常有价值的。
So I think it is of great value for artists to remember their artistic, their cultural DNAs and make them effective. I think this is very valuable.
Well, thank you so much, President Fang. I will go back to you and also to Jan. But next question is for Xu Bing. Last weekend, I visited the legendary American architect, Philip Johnson, his famous glass house. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay. In Connecticut, near New York. And when the tour guide said that this is a place where art and architect converge,And I cannot help but thinking of your work, Xu Bing's work, which is celebrated for blending painting and calligraphy, images and words, tradition and modernity, and the print world and art world. Your work is contemporarily reflecting the avant-garde movement, yet distinctly Chinese or traditional, as you just said.Now, I have two questions for you. First, did you develop this fascinating new style through a gradual process, or was it the result of sudden artistic impulse? This is my first question. The second question, English speakers often misperceive your creation of fake Chinese characters as being authentic Chinese words. This is what we can see from all these things.Is this reflective of other misperceptions that can arise between cultures and across national borders, a phenomenon that continue to plague U.S.-China relations? So So I'm very happy that you mentioned about the word politics in your presentation. So I want to ask that question as well. So these are my two questions for Xu Bing.
谢谢李成的这个教授的问题。实际上，刚才您的一个问题就是说，这些艺术的形式是慢慢
突然之间
积累起来，
慢慢积累起来，还是突然之间有一个灵感？
我想先回答这个问题呢。实际上呢，这个艺术家的创造灵感哈，它反映出来是临时的，就是比如说背后的故事。我是这个实际上在我当时在这个 American Academy 在德国在住，所以呢我在那儿制作一个新的作品，所以我就很希望用这个二战的历史和这个博物馆的历史制作作品。
So to answer your question, Dr. Lee, in terms of whether my work has been a gradual creative process or a result of sudden impulse, I think to artists, their inspirations may reflect as being impulsive or as being spontaneous. But for example, the background stories that I displayed earlier, this was when I was at the American Academy in Germany, I had an idea of creating artworks with waste that are from the World War II.
这个博物馆呢有一个特殊的历史，就是二战的时候呢，他们丢失了有90%左右，或者85%或者95%的作品被苏联红军给拿走了啊。所以我觉得这个历史非常有意思，我就很想其实是有这种表达，但是具体怎么样表达这个东西我不知道。可是当时呢，我后来就去了，有事情去了西班牙，在转机的时候，在机场呢，看到这个办公室的这个毛玻璃的后面有一个盆栽，这个盆栽呢，让我看到了一个很像中国画的一个景象。
So that museum is actually very interesting because 85% to even 95% of the collection was actually taken away after World War II by the Soviet Red Army. And I was wondering if there's a way to express my feelings through artwork, but I didn't know how. Until I was at an airport in Spain later that year, and I saw I saw plants that were behind a milky glass of an office.
所以呢，这个博物馆呢是以这个亚洲艺术为主的啊，他们有很多大的玻璃展柜，所以呢，当我看到这个时候呢，我其实想到了这些丢失的亚洲的绘画以及这些特殊的玻璃展柜，再加上这个盆栽在玻璃的后面，所以它让我想到用这样的手法来复制这些绘画，就像这些绘画曾经在这儿出现过，但是呢，他们的影子。他们的灵魂又回来展现在这个空间里面。
So all of these experiences, the stolen art, the missing art, the glasses, the plant behind milky glasses, have inspired a vision, which is, you know, I think that some of these art can reappear, or their souls, their shadows can reappear, behind glasses.
我想这个，这种景象，我想以前看到过。但是为什么这个时候却成为灵感？我觉得是和我当时的思维上的紧张度，和我强烈的要说的一件事情发生关系的。
Of course, we have all seen these elements before, but why at that time, I was struck by that inspiration? I think it's related to the tension of my ideas at that time and my desire to express what I've seen in Germany.
Okay, yeah, my second question, in line with this is about, 是不是就是您这个文字 created 的这个 Chinese character, 实际上美国人看上去或者英语 speaking 的那个读者看上去是一个中文，但实际上它是英文，是不是也反映出美中两国有时候你认为这是美国人的想法，但实际上是 不是美国人的想法，你认为这是中国人的想法，但实际上是美国人的想法，是不是有这种相通之处，是不是在你在 create 这个整个的这个你的 art 的 most 的天书或者后来其他一些作品当中有这样一种想法，是不是有相通之处在这些问题上面？
实际上呢，就是 我总是认为，就是说这个艺术创造呢，和你的所生活的环境和你所面对的问题直接发生关系啊。我想，如果我没有在美国生活，我不会创造这个英文方块字这个作品，因为对我不构成一个问题。
To answer your second question, I think to me, the creative process or art has always have a direct relationship with your experiences with the world. So I wouldn't have created the English Chinese characters if I hadn't lived in the United States.
Yeah, 实际上，这个作品呢，其实它确实反映了我当时的这种所直接面对的问题。
So this work, this artwork reflects a direct issue that I faced at that time.
但是它表面好像是在谈东西之间的关系，但实际上呢，这个作品我更感兴趣的是对我们人类思维的局限性的一个新的反思。
So on the surface, these artworks reflect the differences or relationship between East and West.But in fact, it represents my reflections on the limitations of people's imagination and people's thoughts.
因为实际上我的很多作品呢，其实都是对于一个概念的边界，或者两个概念之间的模糊地带感兴趣。
Many of my works, I've been interested in the boundaries of different concepts or the blurry areas between different concepts.
实际上，比如说我们有中文的概念。什么是中文？知识告诉我们什么是中文。我们也有英文的概念，知识告诉我们什么是英文。但是面对这样的书法呢，我们所有的旧有的文化概念都不工作。
So, knowledge has told us the concept of Chinese, and knowledge at the same time, has told us the concept of what it means to be English. But when faced with such an artwork, our old concepts, our old knowledge,cease to function.
实际上东西的之间的关系也是测验出了我们人类对于这个不同的文化之间的概念的局限性。
So the differences between the East and the West, is a reflection or is a testing ground for people's limitations in terms of understanding the differences between different cultures.
Thank you.I still want to have an audience question. Before that, let me ask two quick questions for President Fan and also for Jen. Jen, you said you refer to the misunderstandings, misperception of Chinese art. I fully agree with you that there's a prevailing perception in the West. Chinese artists are either pro-government or anti-government.This kind of mindset, you know, as a Chinese American, I particularly feel offended by this kind of way of thinking. But that has been quite prominent in the West, especially in the United States. And my question first for President Fan is, probably more than anyone in China, you really introduced Chinese art to the West, contemporary art. Now, in your view, what are the prevailing misperceptions in the West about Chinese art?Avant-garde artist. Now, the next question is for Jen. American scholar Joseph Nye used the term soft power. And he particularly emphasized American advantage in terms of soft power. But your presentation really tells us we really should look at very, very dynamic Chinese avant-garde artists.I mean, if we talk about 80s, they learn from the West, but now they move to the frontier of the art world. You look at the in the commercial term, probably Chinese artists dominated the top 100, you know, the commercial market. That certainly may not be the most important criteria, but at least tell us the very dynamic area as represented by two artists with us. But what's wrong with the Chinese soft power? BecausethChinese artists may need to find a better strategy to present their art piece, or because we Americans really become inward looking, deny the fascinating changes in the art world, and etc. So these are the two questions for our two panelists. First, President Fan.
这个，我想啊，我做了一部分这个展览策划和组织的工作。其实，在某种意义上说，我也把整个展览当做一件我的作品。希望呢，它能够营造一个大家来参与文化对话的一个现场。
I have done a lot of work in exhibition, curation, planning, and organizing. But I've also seen these works, these exhibitions, as my own work. I've been trying to create a field or a scene for cultural participation.
其实不同文化之间的误读啊，这个古来有之啊，到今天的话，看上去信息很发达，都介绍了很多真实的情况。但是一种，来自于根源性的这个文化间的误读还是不可避免的存在。
The misperception among cultures has been an ancient phenomenon and has always been there. With the development of information technology, it appears that we are getting a lot more information or a lot knowledge, but the misperception is deeply rooted in our interactions with different cultures.
当然这种文化 误读我觉得可能跟两个方面有原因，一个方面是可能在文化上还有一些盲点，就大家彼此没有看到的，第二个呢还有一些属于这个偏见就是带着一些历史性的惯性来看待今天的一种文化的这个相关性。
So such misperception can be traced to two reasons. One is perhaps there are still blind spots that are not understood or not perceived by the other culture. And another one is some of the biases, especially historic biases, that are clouding our judgments today.
所以我想一个展览其实就是要营造这样一种空间大家在这里呢能够就艺术家的作品能够展开讨论。这个讨论而且是以多角度的理解观察也包括欣赏为前提的我经常说只有当我们从中国内部来分析当代中国当代艺术以及包括来自世界比如说美国从外部来看待这个中国艺术当这种两种目光交汇在一起的时候对这个问题的这个真实性能够得到更好的答案。
So as exhibitors or as exhibition planners, our job is to create spaces for people to discuss different cultures from multiple angles. It is to create a space where Chinese artists can explain Chinese art from within and for the rest of the world, for example, the United States, to examine Chinese art from without. And it's within that process that we can better understand each other.
对文化间的这个不了解啊，引发了好奇心，好奇心这个是文化理解的一个很重要的动力所以我认为徐冰先生的作品从80年代我们那时候还是在中央美术学院是同学的时候他就做了一些我认为既引起我们中国自己这个同事的好奇心我相信也同样引发不同文化背景的观众的好奇心我觉得这个是他作品最大的魅力果然如此他几十年一直在这个领域不断的深化。
The lack of understanding contributes to curiosity, and curiosity is what's driving creative processes and what's driving art. And when Mr. Xu Bing, and in the 80s, when we were in the Central Academy of Fine Arts, when we were classmates, he already started to create artworks that are making everyone else curious. And throughout these past decades, he's been continuing on that pursuit, and this is, I think, why he's able to contribute so much to the community.
Well, you sound like a diplomat.culture ambassador in yes Jen
I think museum work is diplomacy yes. and it is soft power
sure.
I think one of the things that your question brings up in my mind is how much does America care about art so you know we have to look what is art to us and I'm alwaysthinking about a comment by Peter Volkos, a very famous ceramic artist in the 1970s. He was telling the art students that he was working with, if you want it to be liked, make it big, make it red, or make it gold. there is something about American history, American aesthetics, that has made us go for the big, shiny.So some of what is coming through from China is just there's a, still a little bit of a disconnect with shui mo painting, with ink painting. Are we as an American people ready for it? But you have artists like Liu Dan, who's just done an ink painting where he's created a Chinese, from his Chinese DNA, he's created a Chinese landscape. But he very openly puts his model next to this landscape. His model is a drawing by Raphael of horses and religious figures in an architectural setting. But for him, it became landscape. Now, we in the West are more willing to accept that because there's a Western reference. It's this, what it is a comfort level. So I think America is trying to get itself ready for Chinese art, but when there's no direct connection to our own tradition, people are nervous. So it's just like when you put an artwork on a wall. As a museum curator, you know you need to put up a label. If people can read a little bit about it, then they're relaxed. Then they look. You don't put a label on it. They go into the room. They panic. They leave. Of course, not everyone. But there is something. So I think we're trying. We're getting there. But it's a slow process. We have to get people more comfortable with looking at what they're not familiar with.
Thank you so much. Now, I want to take maybe one or two rounds of questions. And first, identify yourself and also limit your question for one. And also, if you want to address particular panelists, just please say so. The gentleman.
Thank you. Both presentations, or all three presentations.
Identify yourself, please.
Garth Trinkle, Washington, D.C., and Berkeley, California. My question is for Xu Bing. You spoke very movingly about at the American the Academy in Berlin and becoming aware of art that had been taken by the Soviets away. You spoke about learning about American and Western art in 1980. But the works you've shown are extremely sensitive, extremely thoughtful, but I don't get the social realism or the radicalness that would come through if you had perhaps used a little bit of the social realist content of the what you experienced in Berlin of seeing art taken away. Do you think your experience of in Berlin of the German art taken to the museums of the Soviet Union, do you believe that perhaps it will come through in subsequent works that you will be doing? Thank you.
We will hold. A few more questions. Yes, the lady with the pink. You, yes.
三位好，我叫汪佳佳，现在在那个哈佛大学念博物馆研究和艺术史及博物馆研究。然后为了节省时间，我有一个问题问三位嘉宾。2014年在我以前生活在法国，2014年在那个巴黎大皇宫美术馆举行的中国意象当代水墨和建筑那个展览，然后在那边我也遇到了这个范迪安老师，以及今年中国国家画院也在巴黎举行了一场，就是刚刚举行了一场这个展览，也是关于中国水墨的。然后我的感觉是在巴黎的这个关于中国当代水墨的展览或者中国传统水墨的展览所能获得的影响力，其实不及在英国在比如说大英博物馆2011年的那场展览，或者是在纽约大都会博物馆2014年的那场 Ink Art 那场展览。所以我的问题是如何在这些就是艺术的前沿的西方国家，法国也好，美国也好，英国也好，如何使得中国的这个当代的这个水墨多元化的这样一个元素能够更好的呈现出来。
Can you translate the question?
Sure.
So just to sum up the question is, so in the avant-garde art scene in countries like France, in Britain and the United States, how do we make sure that the Chinese ink art, the Chinese ink brush art, shui mo paintings are very are well presented and well conveyed?
The gentleman, yes.
Yes, I'm Dr. Sam Hancock of Emerald Planet, Emerald Planet TV. Dr. Lee, thank you for introducing everything. And I want to say praise to the translator. He's done an absolutely fantastic job. They always get forgotten. Anyway, to both of the artists, I first started working in China through the Australia-China Society in 1973. So a long time seeing the change in China like you've gone through. What would be the two most impactful times or cultural changes that you've seen in China that now is being reflected in the art that helps the West to understand all of the transition over these last 40 years that China's gone through? And that's for both of the artists.
Okay, good. Which is, yeah, three questions. Yeah.
现实主义包括那种狂热主义以后会不会在您的这个作品还会有体现就是您抢走那些艺术家的感受会不会在以后的作品里第二个问题是那位女士澳大利亚跟三年就已经在中国呈现的两个
帮助西方。这个刚才这位先生的问题呢，实际上我有点不是太那个就是抓住这个核心，就是什么呢？就是说，比如说，因为这个博物馆呢，它是一个东亚博物馆。 所以呢，它里面的丢失的作品呢，基本都是东亚的艺术品。
So to answer the question from the first gentleman, I'm struggling to capture the essence of this question because that museum in Germany was exhibiting most of the exhibits are from East Asia or East Asian artworks.
但是呢，那个在这个 case 里面呢，其实我没有太多的直接的和这个
So in that context, I didn't interact directly with the social realism and the radicalism at that time in Germany.
但这种关系呢，我想呢，有可能是一个曲折的关系。
But such relationships, of course, can be an indirect relationship.
Yeah, 因为我们在接受艺术教育的时候，实际上呢，这个德国的现实主义。 以及这个世界上的现实主义的创作的传统 其实对我们的艺术有深远的影响
Because in fact, when we received our art education, realism in Germany and the realism tradition has profound influence on our own backgrounds and education.
这个作用呢，不是说我们要画现实主义的风格的作品，对我来说。 而是这个艺术和现实生活之间的关系，或者说艺术来源于社会生活的现场，这个思想呢，对我来说是非常重要的。So
although realism may not reflect directly in my artwork, the relationship between art and reality and the fact that art originates from the society is very important to me.
我先回答一下这位我的这个老乡的问题啊。So
I will first answer the question from someone who's from actually from my hometown.
这个中国水墨啊，的确是世界上非常具有体系性特色的啊一种艺术形式。So
the Chinese ink wash painting is actually an art form that's very systematic in the world.
可能重要的不是在它表达了什么对象，更重要的是由于它的工具的特性，使它变成在绘画的过程中啊，
这个和艺术家的敏感性啊，他的心理啊，有更直接的联系。
And it's unique not because of the objects that ink wash painting is trying to portray, but rather it's the tools that are used, which has enabled a direct connection between the characteristics of the artwork and the artist's own sensitivity and his or her own psychology.
我们可以谈论很多西方艺术对中国的影响或者东方的影响。但是我们也可以找到一点点例子认为中国的水墨艺术对一些西方的画家也有些启发和影响。
We have talked a lot about the influence of Western art on Chinese or on Eastern art, but we can also trace several hints that evidences the impact of ink wash painting on the Western art.
但是正如刚才 Jan 所说的，一个展览啊，它的策划需要考虑不同文化之间的相关性。那中国水墨如何让这个国际公众啊，包括西方公众能够理解，我觉得就在于策划中的对艺术作品的选择，不能仅仅是选择那种封闭性的自己直线继承的那种作品，而应该选择他们表达了今天大家这个时代的共同的感受，也包括把水墨的语言当作一种新的视觉方法。
So as my friend Jan pointed out, it is important in the exhibition or in the museum world for different cultures to cross-reference. And I think that the same goes with ink wash painting in China. So if you are only adopting a kind of a closed mindset, adopting a linear inheritance of tradition, that is not going to resonate with the Western audience. But rather, we should look for or we should select in these exhibitions artworks that are able to resonate with the audience and are able to identify common languages.
The third question. Anyone want to comment on the third question?
当然我认为这澳大利亚的朋友提出了非常不容易回答的问题。
I think the question from the gentleman, the third question is actually a very difficult to answer.
我觉得对于中国来说啊，迫切的就是或者说有很大的意愿需要和世界交往啊，在视觉艺术上，大概我们要两类展览讨论两个问题。
So I think in terms of how Chinese culture, Chinese exhibitions can communicate with the rest of the world, we need to consider two issues.
一个是如何通过一个大型的展览来讨论中国艺术的现代性问题。这实际上是个在社会学乃至哲学包括文学上经常讨论的关于 modernity 这个词，这个概念，我觉得在艺术上还讨论的不够。
The first issue of consideration is how to, through a large-scale exhibition, display the modernity of Chinese art. I think this hasn't been done enough, and it's worth discussion.
甚至这一块，中国艺术在二十世纪，中国经历了战争，经历过革命，然后也在一个这个艰难的一个建设的过程中，他的艺术有没有他自身根据中国社会所生发的这样一种现代性，可能在世界的这个国际的学界可以说这块是很疏忽的，就很忽视的。
And also, since during the 20th century, China has gone through wars and revolutions, the academia might have neglected whether throughout this experience, China has developed its own unique modernity in art.
第二类，我就觉得通过当代艺术的展览来讨论有没有一个当代性，这是我们大家共同的面临的一个时代。
So I think, you know, the second issue indeed is whether we can, through exhibitions and art exchanges, explore or discuss the modernity of art, of Chinese art.
当代性
contemporary nature of Chinese art.
Any addition, comment, or just pass?
I just like to say that art, the best art is able to transcend cultural boundaries. And I'm going to open an exhibition in September that is a Mark Rothko painting next to a 15th century Chinese red glazed ceramic. simply with the idea that art objects can have dialogues with each other, and we can have dialogues with art objects. And I think what Fan Dian is talking about is that China has created its own contemporary visual language, and the best of those artists actually are able to communicate internationally. The slightly lesser level can communicate nationally, but the really transcendent ones, it becomes an international language.
Yeah, I wanted to end in 5 to 7 minutes. So last couple of questions. Anyone? The lady in the middle, yes. Yes, here, in the middle. Could you go? In the middle, here. Yeah. The white clothes, with the white clothes. Okay, yeah, why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? Here. Yeah. Okay, yes, you waited so patiently. Yeah.
So Lu Jiayi from Western Media. My question is for President Fan. So do you think the Western world is manipulating Chinese art market? And how do you see the future of Chinese art market?
Okay, good question. Probably we don't have time to any more questions. I apologize. So last question for you.
我没有掌握太多的情况，我觉得，我不能完全赞同用操纵这个词来谈论西方与中国艺术市场的关系。
I don't have a lot of information on this subject, but I also don't think that I can agree to describe the relationship between the West and the Chinese market as the West is manipulating Chinese market.
我觉得我们可以共同讨论的是说，市场啊是跟资本有关系的，特别是关于资本的价值作用，这个方面是有关系的。
Of course, the market is related with capital, and we can have a discussion on the value and effectiveness or the role of capital in art market.
当然是。像国际的拍卖市场为例吧，他们经常举办很多中国的这个艺术的拍卖啊，也爆出了非常高的这个价格。那同样在中国自己啊，也有非常热烈的这个民间的啊个人的收藏，相当一部分也聚焦在当代艺术上。
And of course, there has been a lot of international auctions in the international auction market, and Chinese artworks have been offered very high prices. And within Chinese society, there are a lot of folk collections, and that's also a very vibrant market.
当然，现在我们从理论上提出来要警惕的是艺术的它的艺术家的这个创作啊，不要跟着市场的风向啊，这个追随啊，追随的走。
Of course, in theory, we like to say that artists should not follow the winds of the market.
也就是说，不要为市场打工。
Don't work for the market.
但是所以优秀的艺术家，他总是用自己的真诚的在进行创作，而最后获得市场的承认，也包括取得市场的价值。
Great artists always create with sincerity and eventually gain recognition and value from the market.
Thank you.
Well, this has been an intellectual and artistic feast. And the images, ideas, and the perspectives shared by our panelists have enriched our understanding of Chinese contemporary art, its vitality, diversity, and role of diplomacy. Chinese culture and the artist scene or creation are at the heart of China's art scene. But the Chinese contemporary art also reaches beyond these subjects and tries to identify and comment on something much greater, much bigger. Now, I would like to conclude with a quote by President John Kennedy, who said at the peak of the Cold War, I quote, "I'm certain that after the dust of centuries has passed over our cities, we too will be remembered not for victories or defeats in battle or in politics, but for our contributions to the human spirit." The work of Fu Shibing and Shibing's and also Fan Dian's reflects this human spirit. Its ability to imagine and build new creations, its constant search for peace and dignity, its critic of all kinds of absurdities, and its call for international dialogue and global thinking. In honor of this human spirit, I would like to ask the audience to join me in thanking Xu Bing, Fan Dian, Jane Stewart, and also our interpreter. I mean, he is an interpreter for President Jimmy Carter, for those of you who do not know him, for this wonderfully, wonderfully stimulating discussion. Thank you so much.